Well, we finished 2 Peter. So the most difficult part about preparing for tonight was deciding where to go. My dad's going through Revelation when he's in town. I called him and said, well, do you want me to pick up where you left off in Revelation? Or do you want me to start a new book? Or do you want me to just do an intro message? He said, well, whatever you want to do. So I prayed about it and spent too much time figuring something out. But I'd like us to turn to Genesis 1:1, starting way back in the beginning. We're just going to look at one verse tonight. Kind of a topical message, starting the book of Genesis. The Bible says at the very beginning, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's ask the Lord to bless tonight and prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we look to you as we open your word, knowing that that's the proper way to approach your word. Lord, we pray that you'd prepare our hearts, touch us, and renew our minds, open us up to you. Remove anything and everything, Lord, that would hinder us from hearing, connecting, obeying. We pray for your grace and your Holy Spirit to move tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking this evening at God as creator. The Bible says that he created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. At the very beginning, the first thing was him as creator and his creation. What does it mean that he is creator to us today? How does that relate to us, the fact that he created the heavens and the earth at the beginning? Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes that we should remember our Creator in our youth. There's something that God wants us to establish at an early age, at a very early age in our understanding, in our hearts and our minds, and that is him as Creator. What does it mean that he's the Creator? Well, it kind of means that he makes the rules, that he has authority, that he is God. That kind of gives him the right to be God in his creation, the authority within his creation, that he is creator. You know, God can say stuff. Like if you read in Mark chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus said, there's going to be something that happens in those days that never happened before since the time of creation. Now, only God can make statements like that, because God's the only one that knows everything that's happened since the time of creation. See, we serve a big God, and when we connect with the fact that he's creator, we realize that he gets to say stuff like that. He gets the right to have all authority. And when he tells us through his word what is and what has been, we have to take his word for it and give him his position as creator. And give him the authority he's worthy of. Throughout the Bible, God will tell us what things were created for. And again, he has that right because he's creator. Who knows what things were created for? The purpose of things. He says in Corinthians that woman was made for the man. Now, only he can understand that because he created both man and woman. He tells us in Timothy that certain people are teaching to abstain from eating certain types of meats. And God said, which were created for food. And again, God has the right to tell us what he created things for. He created meat to eat. And he knows because he created all things. So the idea that he's creator gives him authority, gives him the right to make the rules and tell us how it is and how things work and what purpose things have. We're going to be looking at some verses dealing with creation. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. A lot of this stuff will be a reminder to you. But hopefully, you'll be inspired and encouraged nonetheless. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul tells the Ephesians. I will start in verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Here we have the Creator, God, creating all things. But Paul's saying, you know what? This mystery, this idea of the gospel being available to all, the good news of Jesus, he says it was hidden in God since the very beginning of creation. It was hidden in him and revealed to Paul. Paul had this mystery revealed to him by God, and this idea that it was hidden since the very beginning. It was in God's heart. It was God's plan since the very beginning to save mankind. Since the very beginning of creation, we read the Bible from the very start of Genesis 1:1, and we see a story of salvation, of God's plan to redeem humankind. As the Creator, he has a plan and a purpose for his creation since the beginning. Now, the fact that he has all authority, he's Creator, he's God, he makes the rules, gives him other rights. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. Now who has the right to destroy but God alone? Here he says, I will destroy what I've created. Because he is Creator, he has that right. He has that authority. It's an interesting in Isaiah 54. You don't have to turn to this one. Speaking of his right to destroy his creation, also what he creates. Not all. Just the majesty of creation, but he also creates that which opposes us. In Isaiah 54:16, the Bible tells us, Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. Here, God creates things to reprove us, to exact judgment, the spoiler to destroy, God, creation of the devil, knowing the purpose he would serve throughout all of the time here on earth. But he created all things, and he has a purpose for every piece of his creation. And he makes the rules, he has all authority, being the Creator. It's what makes him God. Turn to Psalm 148. How should we respond to God when we know that he is our Creator? Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heaven, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Now, as we approach the very beginning of God's word, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we establish and agree and accept by faith the reality that God is Creator. We recognize his authority and his ability to make the rules and tell us how things are. And we praise him. That is our response to our Creator. He created us all individually. and everything we see in the world we live in. He demands our praise. He's worthy of our worship just for the fact that he created us, not to mention his redemption and everything else. But him being creator means that he has all authority, means that he makes the rules, that he is God, and that he is worthy of our worship and our praise. This isn't just exclusively an Old Testament thing. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Says, and this is speaking of what the 24 elders, which we believe represents the church in heaven, they worship God. It says in verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." You see, this is a picture of exactly how we should respond to our Creator. He's worthy of all of our glory and honor, power and praise. He's worthy of everything he receives in the form of worship. For he created all things, and by his will they exist and were created. Proper response to the Creator. One more verse in this section. Isaiah 45, 18. The Bible says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." As we establish the fact that God is creator, there is no other God, there is no other beside him in creation. He alone is creator. Jesus created all things with him. All things were created by God through Jesus. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the God we worship, is exclusive in his creation. He is creator. There is none beside him. No one else has the authority to make the rules and tell us how things should be. No one else has the authority as does the creator. So, as we ponder God as creator, we ponder his creation. I'm sure we can all agree that he does a good job in what he creates. Isn't his creation amazing? Isn't God amazing what he's created? He's good at what he does. Thank you. And he has a purpose in his creation. We know that. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." He does a great job at what he creates. And everything he creates, he has a specific purpose for. It's for his pleasure, for his will. He has a specific purpose to be fulfilled with each piece of his creation. So, as we continue this idea, this study of creation, as I was studying this topic, this is when things started to get real interesting for me. This concept was new to me and very intriguing and exciting. So I want you to look at a couple verses with me. Numbers. If you turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. And I'll set this up real quick. We find Korah, as Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. And there were times when the people sought to rebel against Moses. And one of these rebellions was led by a man named Korah, as he rebelled. And he led a rebellion against Moses. And Moses said something very interesting as he defended himself in Numbers chapter 16, verse 30. He says, "But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." And guess what happened in verse 31? Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households, and all the men with Korah, and with all their goods. So we have this face-off between Korah and Moses. And Korah was in rebellion to Moses, but not just Moses. He was in rebellion to God. And he was seeking to lead the people against Moses and against God. And Moses says, you know what? If God does a new thing, if God creates a new thing and opens up the earth and swallows Korah up, then you'll know that he's rebelling against God and not just me. What I'm saying is right. And sure enough, God creates a new thing, opens the earth, and swallows up Korah and his people. What's the point? We see God creating something here. In the form of a discipline, something new that wasn't natural in creation. Just this miracle where the earth opened up and the people were swallowed. This intrigued me because this is something new that God created. We know the story of creation as we go through Genesis. It took God 6 days to create everything, remember? And then he rested on the seventh day from his creation. How long did he rest? How long did he rest? Anybody? One day. And guess what? He started creating again. God still creates. The word in the Hebrew in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, bara, created the heavens and the earth. It's found throughout Scripture after Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And God does new things. He creates new things. And we're going to explore these examples. Exodus chapter 34. What are other things did God create? Did God bara? We see that he opened the earth up and swallowed up Korah. That was a pretty cool creation, but kind of more disciplinary. Exodus 34. You don't have to turn to all these if you don't want to. 10. We're going to do some jumping around. And he said, God, behold, I make a covenant. Now, this word make is bara in the Hebrew. Behold, I bara, I create, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Notice in verse 9 what brought this about. Then he said, this is Moses speaking to God. Now, if I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us. Let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. So we have here the people of Israel in the desert, and Moses praying to the Lord, God, we're stiff-necked, we're stubborn as a human race, as a people, as a nation. But I pray that you would come among us, that you'd go with us, that you'd be a part of us. And God answers, oh, I'm going to create something new with you people. Something you've never seen before. Something brand new, and it's going to be good. Because we've established before, God's creation is amazing, isn't it? And he created a covenant with the people of Israel. An amazing covenant. And it was a good thing. It was an amazing thing. And it was new. Does God create today? Is God in the business of bara creating today among us? Turn to Psalms, if you'd like. Psalm 102. What kind of things does God create today? Have you been a witness to any of his creation? Not just something he's created in the past, but something he's created in your lifetime. Psalm 102, verse 18, says, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Psalm 104, verse 30, You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Every time someone, a human being, is born into this world, he's created by God. See, God's intimate involvement in creation is active when each person, each new life, enters the world. He's constantly involved in his creation and his creative power in each human life. As David said, you knit me together in my mother's womb. See, some of God's creative masterpieces are right here. He created you. He created me. He borrowed us and every living person. And he's got a plan for many people in the next generation. He's busy creating in our world today. Human life. That's what he does. And we've established his creation is amazing as he continues to work. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. So is that all he does? He created the building blocks of life. You know, he created a covenant. He did a miracle and he killed Korah and stopped the rebellion. He creates life. And that's kind of the extent of his creative power. Is that all that he creates? Or is there more? Is there more that could affect our lives today? God's creative power. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, God says? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Here, God trying to tell his people to pay attention to what God created. Look up. Look around you. Think about the God who created those things. Who's like him? Verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see this here? God is pointing to himself as creator. And he's saying, now I want you to notice the same God, me, who created everything. I'm not asleep. I'm not resting like the seventh day. I'm at work. And I want to use my power in your life. I have power to give the weak, the faint, those who need help. Here I am, the creator of the universe, and I want to use my power today. A God that's at work. Challenging, don't you? And you think that I'm not looking, he says. How could you say that, he says. The creator of the universe, here I am, and I want to work in your life. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh God, creator of the universe, wants to create something in your life, and his creation is amazing. He wants to work in your life. He points to himself as creator, and then he says, I want to use my power, my might, to help those who need it. Chapter 41 of Isaiah, verse 20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done it, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. See, he loves to do stuff today. In fact, he especially likes to take circumstances where there's someone in need, someone weak, someone broken, someone desperate. And he likes to create something in their life. He likes to do miracles. And he says, I like to do it because then people will know that I did it. He likes to work in such a way, in his amazing way that he works, so that it will bring glory to himself, so that people will see, hey, look, God created something again. God's at work. God did something again. He wants to keep doing stuff. And he wants to do stuff in our lives so that they will know that he's at work. Chapter 42 in Isaiah, verse 5. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. You see, he's doing it again. He's talking about himself as creator, the one who stretched out the universe and did all this wonderful, amazing creation. Then he's telling the people, I want to work for you. He says, I have called you. I will hold your hand, the creator of the universe. I want to hold your hand, and I want to go create something in your life. I want to do something with you. He goes on in verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Now, this verse was a fulfillment of the movement of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus and his ministry, he opened the blind eyes, he preached to the prisoners. This he accomplished and fulfilled this prophecy through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives to continue to fulfill this prophecy, to open the eyes of those who are blind. There are many people blind in our world today. To set at liberty the captives. There are many people bound, slaves of sin, bound in this world. God's saying, I want to take your hand, and I want to create miracles in your world so that people will know it's me, that I still create, I still work, I still move by the power of the Holy Spirit. God pointing to himself as creator and then challenging the people that read, I want to still work, and I want to do something in your life. Oh, inspiring, amazing stuff. But does it really apply to us? I mean, some could have a real critical kind of a idea. And they could pick apart those scriptures in Isaiah and say, he was kind of talking to Israel, wasn't he? They apply to us, his children. For the Bible says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. But just to speak to the skeptic, let's go to the New Testament and find some more scriptures that are very clear as to God creating something in our lives today. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, a popular verse, but something I never seen in it before. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Does God really create today? Could God, stop, think about this question for a second. Could God really create something for you today? Is God really interested in creating something in your life? I mean, in the beginning, God borrowed. Does God want to borrow something in your life? Is that just totally crazy? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice here, he's not talking about in this verse the act of God creating human life. He's not. He's saying after he's created you as a human being, he actively was involved in creating you as a person. There's something else in store for his children. He says that we are his workmanship, which he created in Christ Jesus. Now he wants to take us as adults, in many cases, and he wants to create us again, all over again, in Christ Jesus. He wants to use his same creative power he used to create the whole universe. And he wants to rework you and create you in Christ Jesus for good works. He wants to create a whole new life for you in Christ Jesus. You know the popular verse in Corinthians? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. What does it mean to be a new creation? But that there's a creator involved. He wants to create you all over again. Now that just blew my mind. I never seen that before. God wants to create. When we come to him and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he's ready to take our hand and use his creative power to transform us and make something new, something amazing. We've established his creation is amazing, and he's not done with us. He wants to create us in Christ Jesus anew, completely renewed, every part of our life for good works, our insides, our actions, the life before us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, we're encouraged in the Bible. As we accept Christ, we're filled with his Holy Spirit. We have a new nature. We have a new nature. And we're encouraged to put that new nature on, to walk according to the Spirit, to live according to our new man and our new nature, and not according to our old. But here we see the Bible telling us that God created that new nature. That's cool. He created a new nature specifically for us, recreating us. Popular verse in the Psalms, which just means something very new as I read it today. What did David pray to the Lord after he sinned? Create in me a new heart. See, God wants to do something new with his creative power in us on a regular basis. Oh God, we see from your word that you're in the business of creating even today. Create in me a new heart. Actually, I think it is clean heart. I have the reference here. Thanks. Well, he gives us a new man, but Psalm 51:10. Thank you. I wasn't expecting my mom to correct me on my quoting of the Bible, but I'm glad she did. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So, that we would have that prayer with David. God, create in my life. Create in my heart. Colossians 3:10. This is our last verse for tonight. And put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Remember when God originally created Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman? The Bible says that he made him in his own image. Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man sinned and fell. But here we see that God has created us again, anew, in his own image once again. He didn't abandon that idea. And as he creates in us, in our hearts and in our lives today, he has his standard of his own image and his own son. That's his ultimate blueprint. That's where he's going with it. That's his plan. That's the destination for each of us as he creates in us. We will be like him. Oh God, You know, God's, he's not going to be stopped. He's not going to be done creating for a long time. I found one more reference. We won't turn there in Isaiah 65:17. That God will bara, create a new heaven and a new earth. He's got a lot of creating yet to do. This was an exciting and inspiring study for me. That God kind of changes things maybe a little bit. As we look at our lives, we look at some things that are unchanged, some things that need God's intervention. We realize that God's creative power, God is still creating. And he can work in those instances. In fact, he has plans to. He wants to. And he specifically calls our attention in the Bible to him as creator and says, let me work in your life. Let me help you if you have a need. Oh, that our faith would be stirred, that we would believe it, that we would believe that God wants to create something new in our lives, that God wants to work on our behalf, that God wants to hold our hands and do creative miracles for us, for the needs around us. Let's pray. Oh, that our faith would be stirred, our spirits inspired with a fresh look at our God as Creator. Heavenly Father, we turn to you tonight. We see that you want to work in our lives. Lord, we believe that you can do all things. We know that what you create is amazing. Your power is limitless. And we're excited at what you could do if you created today. Oh Lord, create in us a clean heart. We pray that you would transform our lives and that your creative power would be active in all of us, that it would be ongoing, that we would believe and expect miracles, amazing things from you here today in our lives, in our worlds. We pray this by faith. We trust you to come through. We believe in you. We love you, Lord. We praise you that you would work in our lives, us being so sinful and insignificant in comparison. We praise you and give you all glory, for you are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.